Dear friends, happy third Sunday of Advent. This Sunday we call Gaudete Sunday. It comes from the entrance antiphon, which we chanted, meaning rejoice, right? So we're able to rejoice because we're a little bit over halfway in the Advent season, and the birth of Christ is almost here. And so it gives us cause for great rejoicing because our salvation is at hand. For the second week in a row, the gospel focuses on the figure of St. John the Baptist. So this is a pretty big deal, right? Out of all the readings, out of all the gospels in the liturgical year, in the lectionary, every Sunday, most Sundays, it focuses on the words and actions of our Lord. And then when we celebrate a feast day of Our Lady, like this last week, the Immaculate Conception or Our Lady of Guadalupe, the readings have a little bit more of a Marian flavor to them. So to have two weekends in a row, two gospels in a row, that focus on John the Baptist, it's rather significant. So last weekend, the gospel was all of Judea, all of Jerusalem, we're going out to the desert, out to the wilderness, to witness this strange character, John the Baptist, who's preaching repentance, who is dressing like the prophet Elijah in camel's hair and eating locusts and wild honey, right? In today's gospel, it's at the end of John the Baptist's life. So last Sunday, it was from Matthew chapter 1, or 2, I think. Matthew chapter 2. Today is from Matthew chapter 11, which is in the middle of the gospel of Matthew, but it's at the end of John the Baptist's life. The context is when he's in prison. John the Baptist had been imprisoned by Herod, because if you remember that story, when John the Baptist was beheaded, he was beheaded because he told Herod that he couldn't have his brother's wife because it was adultery. So John is in prison, and all of this happens while he's in prison. So from prison, what does John do? John sends his disciples, his own followers. He sends them to Jesus with this question: are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? And literally, are you he who is to come? Which is a loaded question, right? Are you he who is to come? And just as Jesus does in the rest of the gospel, Jesus never responds with a trite answer. He never says, yes, it's me, I'm God, and then sends the disciples on his way. He never does this. He answers them in a very profound way. What he does is he lists a number of deeds, actions that he has performed, sort of this list of accomplishments. This is what he says. He says, go and tell John, go and tell him what you see and what you hear. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news, the gospel, preached to them. So Jesus tells John's disciples, this is what you see, this is what you hear, right? You decide for yourself. But the fascinating thing is that Jesus' response, by listing these works that he has done, right? He's not simply giving them, here's my curriculum vitae, right? Here's my accomplishments. He's not doing that at all. What Jesus is doing is he's explaining how he has fulfilled the Old Testament. In particular, how he has fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. Okay? The same prophecy that we heard in the first reading. Listen to these words again from the prophet Isaiah. This is today's first reading. It says, he says, here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. And then listen what Isaiah says. Isaiah says, you will know that God has come into the world if you notice these things. The eyes of the blind will be opened. the ears of the deaf be cleared. The lame will leap like a stag. The tongue of the mute will sing. You see, so when Jesus gives his response, he's directing the disciples of John, go back to Isaiah. Go back to what Isaiah said about the coming of God into the world. And you decide whether or not that is me. So this prophecy from Isaiah, it's not only about the coming of the Messiah, right? So the Messiah is the one who is sent by God. But this prophecy is about the coming of God himself. Isaiah says, here is your God. He comes to save you. So you see how profound this is. So when John the Baptist sends his disciples to question Jesus, are you he who is to come? What he's asking is not simply, have you been sent by God? He's not asking simply that. He's asking, are you God himself who has come to save us? And Jesus' response is powerful because he responds by saying, look at what I've done. I am doing the only things, only these things God can do. The lame walk, the blind see, the mute hear. Only God can do these works that I'm doing. And so Jesus is revealing himself that he is God who has come into the world to save them, to save us. And so you see, John the Baptist's mission, John the Baptist's vocation is very important. John the Baptist, the mission that he's been given to, that he's been given by God, is to proclaim that God is coming into the world. And notice what John does. John never says, hey, come follow me and I will lead you to Christ. He doesn't do that. What he does is he points beyond himself to another. He points to another and instructs us that we must follow none other than Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Remember what he did in last Sunday's gospel. He says, one is coming after me who is greater than me. I'm not even worthy to be his servant. I'm not even worthy to untie the sandals on his feet. Friends, this mission of St. John the Baptist to point to Christ, to point to the coming of God into the world. John the Baptist's mission is made very real for us at Holy Mass, especially at the moment of the communion rite. It is at that moment, just before we receive Holy Communion, the priest puts on his lips the words of John the Baptist, not of Jesus, but the words of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. You see, so John the Baptist continues in Mass to point us, to direct us to this Lamb of God. So most of the time in Mass, the priest speaks the words of our Lord, the words of Jesus. But at that moment, at the moment of Holy Communion, it's as if John the Baptist is continuing to do what he has always done. He tells us to behold the Lamb of God, to behold the true Passover Lamb. If you ever notice in the Gospel of John on Good Friday, the Gospel of John tells us that Jesus dies at the moment that the Passover Lamb is being slaughtered in the temple. And what did God instruct the people, the Israelites to do in the book of Exodus? He instructed them to take an unblemished lamb, to slaughter it and to take its blood and to put it on the doorpost in the sign of the cross. And when the angel of death descended that night, who were saved? Those who were saved were those who were saved because they put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. And so what St. John the Baptist is doing, he's saying, this is the true Lamb. This is the true Passover Lamb, the true Paschal Lamb. The one who was slain, the one who shed his blood, so that we might have our sins washed away. This is the one, he says, not only sent by God into the world, but he says, behold the Lamb of God, this is God himself. God himself who came into the world almost 2,000 years ago on Christmas Day. And this is the God who continues to come to you, who continues to come to me with his body, with his blood, with his soul, divinity. When he comes to you today and every day that you receive him worthily in Holy Communion, it's this Lamb of God that John the Baptist is directing us to today, in this moment and in this hour. May it be so.